It is so good to be here with you this morning. Am I good on this microphone right here? Okay, great. Okay. So I had Pastor David turn me on. I was very nervous. I'm very nervous every time I wear one of these things. I was actually at a small group, stopped in on one like just recently, and they were telling these horror stories of people, of pastors, and apparently one of their churches, the pastor was wearing his mic, didn't know it was on, and went to the back to the bathroom, and broadcast the whole situation. So I'm so glad we just put this on right away, and we don't have to worry about any of that stuff. But anyway, guys, thank you so much for it definitely happens.
I've done that here.
You've done that here. All right, so we got a couple more testimonies this morning. All right, very good of what happened. Excellent. So let's just pray and ask the Lord to do the speaking this morning. Lord Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you so much for who you are and what you are doing in our lives. And Lord Jesus, we know you're already working here this morning, and we are in your presence, and we thank you for that. And Lord, we just ask right now that your word do the talking, and that you touch our hearts and our lives with your truth in whatever way you want to. And we give it to you and pray this in your name. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's the holiday season right now, right?
Yep.
Who's ready for the holiday season? Anyone? Okay, all right. We got some hands. All right. Now, ready as we'll ever be is right. The holiday season, and that means like we start getting ready for this a long time in advance. And then it's gone. But I'm guilty. I do love the Christmas season. I do love this time of year. I'm big on the lights. I'm big on the trees. I'm big on all of it. All right. I love it all. Yes, definitely. We get excited. We pop out the Christmas CDs. And they're playing in the background. And we know it's time. And I'm just thinking We're going through the last week, man. We put so much anticipation into this season. And, we always, then as Christians and as believers, we try to get focused on what it's really all about, right? And, I'm looking back on that. And I'm trying to, think about that. And, this is not a Christmas message this morning. But I did, as I was preparing, I said, let me bring some type of Christmas into this. There's too much Christmas around us right now. Not to say anything about it. So I'm just thinking about the fact that the first Christmas, we put all this anticipation. There was absolutely zero anticipation. There was absolutely zero understanding of what was about to happen. And it says this in Luke 2. And the guy, everyone in this story, including the main characters, besides the baby, besides Jesus, didn't really realize the magnitude, okay? Didn't realize the magnitude. But there were other people in this story, and in Luke 2 it says this, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Shepherds living in the fields nearby having absolutely zero idea what was happening just nearby, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And that's all we have to read on the Christmas portion here. We got to realize this, and I picture shepherds, and it's going to tie into what we want to talk about this morning, but these guys had zero idea what just in the vicinity was happening until this angel of the Lord appeared to him. And I'm picturing tough guys. It says living in the fields. You can get a lot out of this verse. They're living in the fields. And we know about shepherds. We know that shepherds were not, for the faint of heart. It's not a career path for the faint of heart. There was wild animals involved. There was keeping their flocks safe. There was keeping their flocks healthy, doing tough things, man. Killing the anything that would get in the way or try to attack their flock, and also maybe if there was an infection spreading, having to kill even one of their own. Just there was tough stuff involved in this job. I picture tough guys. I picture living in the field, smelling like a campfire. Guys that just really were calloused in many ways. And this angel Lord appeared to him. And it was business as usual for them living in the fields until this angel appeared. And then they had an opportunity. And they had a choice to make. What do we... Obviously, this direct message from above, direct message from heaven. The angel of the Lord appeared and shone around them. So they're terrified naturally. But what do they do with it? And here's the point. A direct message from God. Go see the baby. Go see this little one. You'll find him and we'll give you directions. They had an opportunity to actually stop and say, you know what? You know, and I love the fact that it doesn't mention their mental state at that time, like their emotional spot. It doesn't say they were happy. Doesn't say they were sad. Doesn't say they were discouraged in life. Just says this thing. This angel showed up, and they were told something. So we don't know where they were in their life at that moment, from an emotional or spiritual standpoint. We just know this: they listened, and they went, and they had an opportunity to either say, you know what, we're going to listen to this, or we're not. Or we're going to ignore it. And we're not going to tell anyone else about it. But they listened and they went. And it was life as normal up until that point. But as soon as that event unfolded, the usual became very unusual. And the mundane of their life or whatever was normal for them became pretty exciting. And it doesn't matter where we're at or what mental state you're at. God can take you from a place and take you to a brand new place. And that's what he did with them. He took them to a totally new place. And I believe he took them from a great existence in the careers and in the job they were doing, but he gave them a new purpose at that moment, a new purpose for what they were supposed to do and visit that little baby. And we're going to talk about that this morning because I think it's a great time of year to focus on purpose. What are we doing? And we talked, the worship team was all about we're being filled. We're being filled so we can be poured out, right? And that's what purpose is all about. Your statements of your church have it all written all throughout. We're living lives of purpose. And what better time of year to realize we have an amazing purpose than when we celebrate the King? When we celebrate the King who came to give us that purpose. So, you know, we're gonna look today at, you know, a life of purpose. And we're gonna look at what that means for us. But you know, we've all heard this thing, and I'll stick out, you know, on the manger scene for just 1 minute. I'll stick on the nativity scene for 1 minute, whether it was actually at that time or months later or not. But there was also wise men involved, right? And wise men, we see the bumper stickers where it says "Wise men still seek him," right? All right, so that is absolutely a true statement. But here's the part that they leave off on the bumper sticker. Wise men still seek him, just like they did back then. But he sought us first. He sought us first. And he has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And he seeks us. And then we get a chance to respond to that. And that's when we find purpose, is when we respond to him loving us, when we respond to him seeking us, when we respond to the grace that was being spoken about this morning that is being shown to us that we have no deserving of. You know, that's when we get a chance to understand that he has a great and amazing plan for us. So you guys, will you guys turn in your Bibles to Romans this morning? Romans. And we're going to talk about a life of purpose, and we're going to talk about a guy who, you know, many commentators, Romans chapter 15, by the way, Romans 15, we'll be in verse 14. But, you know, we're going to talk about a man of purpose that commentators, if you look in many different, you know, scholarly works, they put an importance on the life of Paul right next to, you know, the number one importance, obviously, is the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But they say the number two most important life was the life of Paul and the purpose that he lived with and how he took the message of Jesus and just through him, it was spread through the rest of the world. And you know, I just felt like there was no better guy, because now this guy is this amazing life of purpose, but he's relying on Jesus just like we're called to do. So I want to look at Paul this morning, and I want to look at his life and his purpose and how that took place. And it's awesome when you get excited about what God's doing in your life. You know, we were having baby talk with some of the new parents in the room this morning, and it is exciting stuff, because every time you turn around, something new happens, right? So it's either a new movement, a new discovery, whatever. And I got two daughters, and they're discovering new things all the time. Some good, some bad. You know, we had to teach one this week, do not crawl on the bathroom floor, bad place to be. But, you know, there's sometimes fun discoveries, right? So I remember like a year back or so, like my other daughter, it was probably about two or three at the time. And she comes and just runs into my office and so excited. Daddy, blue Tic Tacs. And I like it was like the craziest discovery of her life, blue Tic Tacs. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, babe, awesome. Do you want one? Do you want a blue Tic Tac? And she comes in with this box of blue Tic Tacs. My wife had picked up at CVS with her or whatever. And she's you know, shaking the box. Here. And I'm just thinking to myself, this was a brand new discovery for a 2-year-old, 3-year-old girl that she was over the moon about these blue Tic Tacs, and all she wanted to do was tell someone else about it. So the first person she saw was me. She's telling me about blue Tic Tacs. No one had to explain to her, blue Tic Tacs, Arissa, blue Tic Tacs are really awesome. You need to go tell people about it. No, she didn't need that message. She just knew, wow, blue Tic Tacs, I'm going to tell everyone. I'm going to share it. And that's what happens when you have an encounter with the truth. Just like the wise men, just like the life of Paul on the road to Emmaus, you know, just like that, when you have an encounter, man, things change. And you don't have to be told, you need to go now and take everything you just learned and go tell it. It's happening. So we need to have, so first thing you have to have is an openness. No matter where you're at, we looked at these shepherds, no matter what state you're in, just an openness for an encounter with Jesus Christ. An openness. Now, sometimes he'll pry that door open pretty hard, just like he did in Paul's life. And he'll make a direct connection with you. So it happens all different ways, but we have to be open to an encounter. And then when we're open to that encounter, those amazing things happen. No one tells you, go share this amazing news. Go share this amazing life change you've had. You just go out and get excited about doing that. And that's what we want. We want to encounter Jesus so that we can excitedly and purposefully share him with others. So Paul in Romans says this. Romans 15:14. I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. Yet I have written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service. I will not venture to speak anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. By the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God, so from Jerusalem all the way around till Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. Now, this is Paul talking about his ministry. This is Paul talking about what's happened and what he's been called to by Jesus Christ. And I think the two things that we see in his own description of himself and his own description of his ministry is this. One, undoubtedly, his model was Jesus. So he was modeling his entire ministry out of the way that Christ Jesus treated other people. And I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. It had to be about Jesus. So we need to make our lives all about Jesus. We need to remind ourselves how Jesus treated other people, how he lived his life, and how, as we heard multiple times this morning in the songs, in the testimonies, and even in some of the words that were spoken, Jesus, how he treated others, how he treated the beggars, how he treated the people he healed. But what happened first? It was not about the physical. It was about loving them and showing himself to them. Through that spiritual encounter, there were so many other physical healings, but he was always more concerned about the heart than he was concerned about the outer. So this is the way that Jesus was concerned. And then, so we know that this is the way that Paul lived his life of ministry. But we also got to understand that Jesus and this message first went to the Jews, right? But Paul was called to the Gentiles. So it's slightly different people group in the fact that, and in those days, greatly, vastly different people group. But Paul was clearly called to the Gentiles, to the ones who were not the religious, who the ones who had no hope in God, the ones that had no understanding, quote unquote, of who God is or was. And Paul was called to them. So Paul was, his ministry was clear, his vision was clear. This is who I'm called to. Although I'm a Jew myself, although I've been trained in this is who God's called me to be. So we see this. I'm going to model my ministry after Christ, but I'm going to go to the Gentiles. I'm going to go to the ones who are looked at by the Jews as dogs. These lower life people that need Jesus just as much as the religious ones do. And that's who he was called to be. So, and we see this all throughout the New Testament, particularly in Romans. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile, Romans 1:16. And then in Acts, which chronicles Paul's life, it says in Acts 13:45 through 47, when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. They began to contradict what Paul had been saying and heaped abuse on him. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first, since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life. We now turn to the Gentiles, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." So Paul's mission was clear. Jews are rejecting you. Go to the Gentiles. This is who I'm calling you to. And his purpose was clear. And as we seek the Lord, and as we seek him, after he reveals himself to us, he will make our purpose clear. He will show us sometimes how there is a plan. Now, there are amazing ways that he works. He doesn't always start you off on the same track that you finish. He doesn't start you on the same track that you sometimes end up on. Sometimes there's many different phases of where he's taking you. He's taking you for a reason. But we, in this culture, want it right now. We want to know where he's taking us right now. And we love it. I mean, it's amazing when you're praying and you really feel a word from the Lord and you really feel like he's speaking to you directly. Go do it. Okay, Lord, I'm going. But it's not always so clear. But we love that when it is. We love that when it is. But for sometimes there's just a still and quiet presence. And he's not speaking audibly, and he's not speaking loudly, and we don't necessarily know what's next, although we want it. But here's the encouragement that I have for you. and me, and I'll speak as a very impatient person, is this. We want it now, but God's not interested in necessarily giving it to you now. His timeline is so different than ours. His timeline is eternity. Where is he bringing us? What is he showing us? Why is he bringing us through it? Why does he need not just bring us to the spot where he eventually wants us to be? Well, there must be a purpose in where you're at right now. There must be a reason in where you're at right now. And in this everyday life, in this mundane, or in sometimes these ways that seem over and over again don't change, maybe just like those shepherds living in the fields. Things don't change. We're just taking care of sheep. Well, listen, he has a plan in all of that. And he has you right there for his timing and his purposes. We just need to be open. We need to be open. But we want it now, and we want to know God's will. And if you ever talk about God's will in your life, anywhere you go, and I speak to a lot of young adults groups, right? And they're all about, what's God's plan for me, right? Where am I going? Where am I going after I graduate? What's going to happen next? What's God's will for me? And you know what? That doesn't change when you're a young adult. How many big boy girls, big boys and big girls in here want to know that same question? Where are you? God, what's your will? Where are we going? Everyone wants to know that. Doesn't matter what age you are, right? That is what we all want. And some of us are really clear on, hey, this is the purpose, this is the will, this is the life that you've called me to. Whether that be a life, a career path, whether that be a family track, whether that be a ministry. You know that, Lord, I'm right where you want me right now, and I'm going to move forward in that. Others of you are not so sure. And you're seeking, when are you going to show me, Lord, the next step? When are you going to show me who I'm supposed to marry? When are you going to show me where I'm supposed to work? Or when are you going to get me that job? When are you going to show me, you know, I know you want to use me, Lord, but what ministry do you have for me? We all want these things, right? But I think as we seek these things and we look at this, and you really can't talk about God's will without going to Romans 12, and you realize that he reveals his will to us by us continually renewing our minds in him. It's a continual process. So the beginning is Romans 12. And I think the answer is really more, not what's your will for me, Lord? What are you going to do? It's what do I need to do right now? And as you continually renew your mind, say, Lord, how am I going to approach this situation you have me in right now, whatever that might be. There's so many different examples that we can go through for where we're each at right now. You're probably thinking of something in your life. I don't necessarily have to lift them all out, but there's family situations. There's job situations. There's school situations. There's coworker situations. What do you want? Not in 5 years. Not what's the 5-year plan, 10. What's the right now plan for these things? As we continually renew our minds in him. And as we tackle, and just forgive me for using these really basic terms, but as we tackle the small God's wills in our lives, he will unveil the big God's will. He will take us, and there's no such thing as small and big. Amen. There's no such thing as small and big. I'm using that as visual language, though, because sometimes we view the right now every day as smaller. But as we're obedient in those things, as we're obedient, and let me look at myself, as I'm obedient in the way I treat my wife, as I'm obedient in the way I treat my children and I raise them, as I'm obedient in the way that he wants me to work, act, and speak, and be towards my coworkers, won't he use that to do his will in my life? Won't he use that to take me to places he wants me to be? And that's exactly what he's calling us to do. Those smaller things that we think are small are what he's calling you to be obedient in right now. And then he will reveal and show you those great and those quote-unquote big things he has for you. But we have to constantly and continually renew our minds in him. So as Paul moved forward, he was clear on his purpose. Model my life after Jesus Christ, and then share with those who are open. Share with those who want to hear. Share with the Gentiles. And as we move forward in this passage, these last few verses we're going to look at, we see this. Paul not only had a purpose, not only had a clear vision, but as we read these next verses, I want you to try to hear how this writing comes off the page. Because I really believe this is a passionate section of scripture here. And he says this in verse 20. It has always been my ambition. Now, when you start talking about ambitions, that's exciting. That's exciting stuff. It's been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ is not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it's written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. But now there is no more place for me to work in these regions, since I have been longing for many years to visit you. I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through, and to have you assist me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. So he's excited here, Paul. He's talking about his ambitions. He's talking about reaching the lost. He's talking about doing new things, going to new places. He's talking about seeing friends. This is an exciting portion of scripture. This is an exciting part of his ministry that he's sharing with us. And here's the thing. I believe that passion and purpose go hand in hand. Purpose goes with passion, and passion goes with purpose, and it is exciting. But here's the thing. I think they have to go together. You know, you have to be passionate about what your purpose is. And you can't separate them. If you see someone who's successful in the world or in ministry or in spiritual things, they have a purpose, but they're very passionate about what they're doing. You know, forgive me for going off the rails here for a second, but I get inspired by people who are very successful. And sometimes I read biographies of all kinds of people. Christians, non-Christians, doesn't matter. I love reading about successful people. And one of the things you see when you read these successful people, there was a driving force in their life. This has nothing to do with spiritual direction, but Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart. If you've ever read the biography of Sam Walton, here's the thing. The guy took He started by buying Woolworths, these little stores, and he realized he was restricted by the corporate standards of Woolworths. He says, "I can't do what I want to do in here." So he's buying. So eventually, his passion, his drive, took him to say, "You know, although I'm growing and I'm making money, I have to move out. I have to go beyond this." And his passion drove him to do his purpose of creating a discounted retailer available for all kinds of people. And this was his passion in life. It went hand in hand. His purpose and his passion went hand in hand, and he was driven to succeed. Now, we've met a lot of people on the planet that have passion, but they might not have purpose, and they're all over the map. You know, I gotta do this, stop that. And they just make your head spin. And we met some people with purpose in life, but they don't have the drive or the passion to move forward in it. They know what they're called to do, but they're lazy in it. So you gotta have both. You gotta have both in order to move forward. And God's calling us to have both. He clearly gave Paul a clear vision, but he also gave him an excitement This guy, and I'm going to skip to the bottom and then work backwards. This guy wanted to go to Spain. He didn't want to go to Spain because he saw a channel like Nat Geo ran a program and said, oh, you know, the food and the culture of Spain is so amazing. Paul had no idea. He just knew that there were people in Spain that didn't know the gospel and they need to hear it. We got to get to a new land. A lot of these areas that we've been have heard the news already. Spain hasn't. On the map of that time, that was the furthest point west that they could get to. So we got to get to Spain. We got to tell these. Do we know if he got there? We don't. But it was in his mind. I got to get to Spain and share with these people. That's what was driving him. Share with the lost. Share with those who haven't heard. He knew, and he was excited about it. It's always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, verse 20, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Now, listen, we know that there was other people in the Word that were called to pour in and take it from where the missionaries took it. And you know, Paul was hooked up with some of these people. He was hooked up with people like Lydia in Philippi, who said, you know, I'm going to take your message, Paul, that you've shared with us, and we're going to plant the church here. And I'm going to use this successful, you know, fabric company that I, this purple dye fabric company that I have, and I'm going to fund the whole operation, and we're going to have this church. So Lydia was used to take the message that was planted and spread it among her people, right, in a different way. So we know there's nothing wrong with other people doing other things. But Paul's vision was this. I want to go where Christ is not known so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. This is not the only thing. This is just Paul's plan. This is Paul's purpose, and he's excited about it. He's excited about it. So what I'm going to ask you this morning is this. Paul knew what he was called to do, and he was very passionate about it. What are you passionate about? What drives you? What excites you? What in some ways makes you uneasy? What stirs your heart? So when I hear about that problem, it grabs me. What makes you uneasy? You know, there's all different callings. There's all different amazing, amazing opportunities. Some people, when you meet them, they can't stop telling you about the epidemic of, you know, sex trafficking in Asia and how they're called to just do everything in their power to raise the profile, let people know what's going on, and just put an end to that. They're just all about that. There's other people that are called and excited about different types of ministries. You might be thinking of something right now in your life that you say, I am just, that when I hear about hungry people, especially during the holiday season, I can't stop thinking about it. I want to fight poverty. I want to fight hunger. Whatever it might be in your life, there are huge things out there. Paul knew what his was. What's yours? What's the thing that stirs your heart when you hear about it? What do you get passionate about? Now, the Great Commission says go and make disciples, right? Go and make disciples. But we could be talking about going internationally and tackling issues. We could be going to a different state or a different city. We could talk about just going local. But here's the other thing about going. There's no actual pinpoint direction where you have to go, right? You could go right to your neighbor next door and be fulfilling the Great Commission. You could also, and this is the part at this time of year that just speaks to me so loudly. You could go on Christmas dinner and walk around your dining room table and probably have more ministry in that room than you could have the rest of the year by going to your family members. There's opportunities everywhere to go. It doesn't have to be getting on an airplane, bus, car. It's go and make disciples. And what is God stirring in your heart? What is he, where is he calling you to go is what it comes down to. That is, Paul knew where he was calling him. What is he calling you to? And that's a job about the same thing, being open to him. Saying, Lord, you know what? I might not know that right now, but I'm open to you. I want to know that. I want to know what you have for me. And that's when you put passion and purpose together, this purposeful or mission-filled life is really, it really is what missions is all about. It's where ministry gets exciting. It's when ministry goes from doing tasks to just living an exciting purpose for others. Putting passion and purpose together, we don't want to get in the way. We don't want to do tasks. We want to live Christ for other people. This is how Paul was led, and this is what stirred his heart, and this is what steered him to new places. Paul's vision was to go out and to minister. To minister to people that didn't know and to places that didn't hear. And that's what he wanted to do. And I really believe that this is how it works. And I'm going to wrap it up with this, that, you know, our purpose and our passion work together. And there's something that stirs our heart, and there's ways that it steers us, no matter where we're called to go. But we look at this, and there was words given this morning about tapping into your giftings and your passions. There was words given this morning about using the gifts that you have. Well, God's given us a lot. He's given us a lot. And we can tap into, we don't have to look very far for where he's calling us to go or how he's calling us to. Look around us and how you. And I just like to do it in typical Jersey style. Like, you know, you got to get in a conversation with someone and they're like, you know, you're thinking, or they're saying, you know, what can you bring to the table, man? What can you possibly bring to the table in this situation, right? And that's how I talk with my friends. Like, what am I going to bring to the table in this conversation? What am I going to bring to the table in this, you know, situation of life? It's not what can you bring to the table. It's what do you already bring to the table? What has he given you that you bring with you without even trying? He's gifted us and talented and given us talents for all of us, and we have them. And many times he's calling us just to use those before we search to do other things. You know, he's calling us to do exactly what these shepherds were doing. Live life. But now, when you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, you get to go and show up at your job and actually be excited about the same job you were at yesterday, because now you have a new purpose in it. Now your job's not just doing the task. Your job is living your passion and your purpose in front of your coworkers. So you get to go to school and say, hey, listen, it's not just about finals right now. It's not just about going and doing, you know, this studying for hours and hours and hours and hoping I get a good grade. There's another purpose in you being there. There's another purpose in you being there. Yes, you want to do the best you possibly can. Yes, he's calling you to that. But what is he, why does he have you in that place right now? Why has he put you right there? Why has he put you in the family he's put you in? Is it going to be another typical get together this year? Or has he given you a new passion and a new purpose in being with your family? There's all different reasons and all different opportunities, and many times he doesn't have to change your geographical location, and he doesn't have to do something brand new in your life. He's given you what he's given you already, and you're already bringing it to the table. So as we have this encounter with Jesus, and as we are open to him and his truth speaking to us, just like those wise men were, and the key part about this, as we listen to it, as we don't just ignore it, because we're really good at ignoring things, aren't we? We're really good at having amazing moments in Jesus Christ and then really quickly forgetting them. But the wise men acted. They said, okay, this encounter is real. Let's go. Paul had a real encounter, and it changed his life, and it changed the course of history. Not just Christianity, history of the world. God has amazing things planned for us as well.